Lots of funky things going on my set here. It's the usual mayhem with a little added War of the Worlds up here on the upper right part of the screen. Judy is still regaling us from the upper left-hand side of the screen. The phone cord, the lamp, the laundry basket, the washer and dryer, everything's in place. I'm feeling at home because I am at home. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everyone. This is Martin Zender. And could you believe that in the last show, last week, I told you that God caused 10 kings to form his opinion. But that's not the most shocking part of that. But before I get to that, I was thinking of one more thing about the Wright brothers. You know, those of us who put videos on YouTube were concerned about the God Almighty views. How many views do you have on YouTube? I admit, I succumb to this once in a while. I try not to. I don't look very often. But once in a while, I'll just take a look. And I do take some pride in the fact that some of my older videos, like the Crack of Dawn Report, a couple of them have over 10,000 views, maybe 120,000. So, of course, you know, everybody wants that magical breakthrough video that goes viral. But, it's, again, I always joke with people. I said, I put truth about God out every day and I get 300 views. If I just shot, and I'm trying to be careful with sound and light, the production values, I do take care and I try to make it quality. On the other hand, if I just shot a random video of a cat licking its ass, I would probably have 1 million views. That's the state of the world today. That's what people are interested in. Funny animals, wedding disasters, the bride falling down. I admit that's hilarious. I love to see it because people strain to make this day the best day of their lives. And this is my theory. The more you concentrate on making the wedding day the best, most magical, most epical, most Disney-like day of your life, the less chance you will remain together. That's just my theory. So I love to see wedding disasters, cakes falling over, brides tripping, falling, dresses flying up in the air, Marilyn Monroe moments. I just love it because then I think the couple might have a chance. If they can freaking laugh at themselves instead of trying to create the Wizard of Oz, you know, it's just, come on, makes me crazy. So, but think of the Wright brothers. Think how many views the Wright brothers had at Huffman Prairie. I think there were 2 views for forever. There's never been more than that. There was the Lighthouse Station Manager Guy. That was his official title, Lighthouse Station Manager Guy at Kitty Hawk. And he took the famous photograph, one of the most famous photographs ever. And he never taken, and photography was kind of like in its infancy, maybe in its adolescence. Never taken a photo in his life. And he took one of the most epic photos. And there's Orville at the controls, Orville, as you and I lovingly come to know him. And so Wilbur is one of the views. So Wilbur and the lighthouse manager, whatever I called him, Guy. And then we come to Huffman Prairie. How many views did you get at Huffman Prairie, Wilbur, Orville? How many views did they get on any given day? 2, 3, 4 views. There might have been a kid. Yeah, there might have been a kid at Kitty Hawk. I think that's why it's Kitty Hawk with D's. Kitty Hawk, because there was a kid hanging around. A little nuisance, a little rug rat. Curtain crawler, crumb cruncher. And he got to see the first powered flight. He was present for history. Yes, he was, this kid at Kitty Hawk. So how many views did you get? Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. In fact, it does matter. Probably the fewer views you get, the more you're onto something. If you want lots of views, film your cat licking its ass, put it on YouTube, and you'll be famous. You could probably do a show about it. You'll go places if you make that a regular theme, nobody's ever thought of that. And this is part of the intoxicant of Babylon. It's hard to believe, but the world is being made insipid. The world is being made dumb. The world is losing its abilities to think logically. The world and its inhabitants, of course, when I say the world, it's a figure of speech for the inhabitants of the world, is slave to entertainment and to amusement. Do you know what the word amusement means? It's a two-part word. There's a prefix there, a, which is not, and muse, to think. A muse. To muse is to think. A is not. A muse is to not think. We want to be amused. Of course, I do this. I partake of the fruit of the intoxicant of Babylon on occasion. I don't want to think. I just want to be amused. Amuse me. I want to be entertained. Make a show for me. Come, 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 come. So, yeah, it's helpful. Because this life is so difficult. And we think such heavy thoughts. Especially you and me. I know I do. People say, do you think of this God stuff all the time? Yeah, pretty much. It's always there. It's right at the second level of my consciousness. At the first level of my consciousness are things like, I gotta get some decaf coffee. That's first level. First level is your survival level of consciousness. I need to put my pants on. I need to make sure I get my one leg in one pant leg. I don't want to try to put both legs in one pant leg, which I have done. Pants are embarrassing. Any clothing is embarrassing. It's so embarrassing to step into your pants in the morning and trip. Can't get your... You've seen people hopping around in their pants trying to get them on. How embarrassing is that? I often think that I am one of the future rulers of the universe with Christ. Christ will be giving me a portion, an allotment among the celestials. And here I am, possibly minutes away from my celestial assignment, and I can't put my pants on. Because, you know, you put your leg in there, and then it folds up at the end, and you push your leg through, and it doesn't go. It's humiliating. I mean, this is just one of millions of humiliations on this planet. So, yes, the intoxicant of Babylon. We like not to think, and so we watch YouTube, we watch television. Don't worry about it. Just don't. You know, like Paul says, we use the world, but we don't use it up. There's the teaching. And I find that I have another opportunity here this morning to give that teaching. You can use the world. You can partake of the enjoyments that it offers. Just don't use it up. Don't love it. Don't become intoxicated. Great analogy. The intoxicant of Babylon is losing control, and it's thinking of nothing else. And so wine or any sort of spirit is an intoxicant, but it's only bad when it becomes a means of one's intoxication. So Paul would not have us be intoxicated either by alcohol or by the pleasures of this world that chiefly come via Israel in the form of entertainment and amusement. Going to be getting to that. In the meantime, listen to the shocking aspect of the Ten Kings. You know, I love this section of the Unveiling 17 because it's being plainly stated what these things are that John sees. And the explanations are not to be explained. The explanations are the explanation. The interpretation is the interpretation. That's what it is. Don't interpret God's interpretations. Don't explain God's explanations as if you're a clever person and you're going to come up with a secret revelation which sets you above everyone else. Now you, people come to you for your wisdom. This is the lure of the Pentecostal church. The Baptist church too, any church. Somebody gets a revelation. Somebody gets a word from God. Martin, do you believe in a word from the Lord? Yes, I do. In this book, it's been written. The reason we needed prophecy early is because this word was not written yet. Prophecy completed the word of God. God gave people a gift of knowledge, and he gave them his thoughts, just like he's doing here with these kings. And this is in the future, but this is not scripture. This is not something that's being written down. What I mean is God's opinion being formed in these kings. So this is not prophecy. But back in the day, these gifts were needed, gift of language, gift of knowledge, gift of prophecy, to complete the word of God. We know in Colossians, I believe it's 1:25, our apostle Paul completes the word of God. So now we don't need it anymore. So, brother, I have a word of the Lord for you. No, you don't, because the word of the Lord's right here. Martin, the Lord told me to tell you. I stop it right there. Martin, the Lord told me to tell you. I said, cut it. If the Lord wanted me to know, he would tell me himself. He does give us thoughts, but I don't trust those either necessarily. Well, I act upon impulses and influences and thoughts, we all do, trusting that God is ultimately behind them. But when it comes to truth, they're in the words we need, and the only words we need are in the scripture. Truth about God, truth about his plan. So he is saying to me, these waters which you perceived, where the prostitute is sitting, are peoples, throngs, nations, languages. Love that, very plain. It's like when Jesus told that parable about the man who plants grain and the tares grow up, or the weeds grow up in the grain, and the harvesters come by, and his disciples, their heads are spinning. Please explain to us the parable of the darnel. And he says, okay, the field is the world. Fact. The world. Stop. That's the end game. The field in the parable is the world. We don't have to explain that. That is the explanation. The reapers are messengers. Wonder what he means by messengers. I know I repeat this over and over again, but I'm telling you, one of these times I'm going to say it differently. I'm going to say it in such a way that it's going to get into somebody. You know, the darnel are the sons of the king, or the wheat are the sons of the kingdom, the Israelites. The darnel is the enemy, the wicked one. So all these things have explanations. And the 10 horns which you perceived, and the wild beast, these will be hating the prostitute, will be making her desolate and naked, and they will be eating her flesh. In other words, the nations are going to come against Israel, and they will be burning her up with fire. And here's the thing I'm going for. And this is the second to last verse of chapter 17. It's the last verse I've been gunning for 2 weeks. And I still haven't gotten there. Verse 18. You're waiting for it. It's coming. You'll see. They will be eating her flesh. They will be burning her up. That's a figure of speech. They will be burning her up with fire. For God imparts to their hearts to form his opinion and to form one opinion and to give their kingdom to the wild beast. I read this before to you, but I'm emphasizing it now. It's a new week. Going to rehearse this, going to review it for you and for myself. God imparts to their hearts to form his opinion and to form one opinion and to give their kingdom to the wild beast. Now, the main point is that's a bad thing, to give their kingdom to the wild beast. That's, don't do that. Anybody standing here on the scene, knows who the wild beast is. That's the Antichrist, the wild beast. That's the evil world system. And these 10 kings are thinking about, you know what, I think we're going to give our kingdom to the wild beast. And remember, the wild beast is being presented on earth as a fantastic thing, as the answer to all the world's problems. Oh, that's the wild beast. Wild beast knows what's going on. You and I would say, don't do it, don't do it. But here, God himself is causing people to do the wrong thing, to sin. I tell people this all the time. God causes people to sin. Of course he does. Was it Psalm 105:25? God caused their hearts to hate his people. Speaking of the hearts of the Egyptians, he caused the hearts of the Egyptians to hate his people, Israel. We know that the events of the crucifixion were according to the counsel and the foreknowledge of God, Acts chapter 4. According to the counsel and the foreknowledge of God, those people sinned like crazy to kill an innocent man. Thou shalt not kill. But God caused people to break his intent, to break his revealed will, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit murder. That's the commandment, not kill. Thou shalt not commit murder. Caused them to do that in order to fulfill his ultimate intention. So God is causing these kings to sin, all 10 of them, to do the wrong thing, which is the exact right thing. It was the wrong thing for Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. Who would tell them to do that? Hey, you guys, get rid of this kid. He's a dreamer, nothing but a dreamer. Sell him to the Ishmaelites. None of us would do that. And yet this was the perfect counsel of God, because Joseph eventually recognized that God had sent him before to Egypt to preserve many people alive, to save that region, the greater region, from a famine. This is saving the world. These 10 kings forming this opinion to give their kingdoms to the wild beasts. This is saving the world. How is it saving it? By destroying it. This is hastening the merciful destruction of this world, preparing it for the next one.